Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and welcome to our regular sports show, Game of Two Halves, every Monday live on Money FM 89.3 at 5:15 p.m., where I host the sports podcasters from the Straits Times. I'm Rachel Kelly, and I'm joined today by Straits Times sports correspondent Sazali Abdulaziz, and we're also joined today by Lien Chung Loon, who's just been elected president of National Track and Field Body Singapore Athletics, or SA, last Friday evening. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Sazali. Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, and congratulations on being elected.
Thank you.
Great. So perhaps you can tell us, along with your full 9-person slate, you're going to form SA's new leadership for the next 2 years. Can you tell us what targets you and your team have set out to achieve in the first 100 days?
Definitely. The thing about any transition is that it has to be smooth, it has to be fast, it has to be seamless. Nobody is going to cut us any slack, least of all ourselves, for getting up to speed quickly. So even in the lead up to the elections, we had already articulated a 100-day plan because we wanted to be able to hit the ground running. Elections were on Friday. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, we had already met to discuss in extensive detail. And before that, we had outlined three parts of our 100-day plan, which we are now in the implementation process. The first is to review the ongoing legal cases. The second is really to outreach to our athletes. As you know, the SEA Games is next year. SEA Games will be in Vietnam. We have roughly about 11 months before qualification closes. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we reach out to the athletes, get a sense and a gauge of their current performance state and training, and also also start to think about what qualification looks like under COVID conditions. Obviously, it's not very helpful if athletes go overseas to compete and come back and have to serve a 14-day quarantine where they will be detraining. So this second piece is really around focus on the athletes, outreach to them with an eye on the SEA Games. Again, no guarantees on medals, but we do want to make sure that every athlete is given the best chance of qualifying and representing and doing us proud. We know how stressful it has been and how disappointing it may be as well if they don't have an opportunity to compete, and calendar obviously has been very empty during this period. So the second point really is around reaching out to the athletes, hearing athletes, coaches, you know, the broader community, but with an eye of something that's quite urgent, because 11 months is not a long time in terms of athletic performance.
What's the key challenge that you and your team have to overcome?
The key challenge here, I think we have a lot of support, a lot of support from the affiliates, from the community, many, many well wishers. We are just trying to, the task list is very large. There are many pressing, and they're all pressing. Many, many things are all pressing. So we're just trying to make sure that we organize ourselves better so that we can tap on all these additional resources and well wishers, and supporters and resources, so that we can be more effective. I always say that the association is a multiplier. So we want to make sure that we do well, so that we can multiply the base stock, whether the base stock is of the athletes, the community, the coaches, the affiliates.
Now, you briefly mentioned legal issues, and among the things that you've inherited are some legal issues involving SA. Can you tell us what you plan to do about them?
I won't go into any specifics. Mm-hmm. There are quite a lot of different ones involved, but we've already over the weekend spent time, spoke to independent legal advisors just to get a handle on it's the same with the athletes, right? One is take stock of all the current issues. Second, assess them independently. And third, craft a strategy now that we have access to a few more of the details. So we had broad outlines previously, but now we have access to more details. We're also empowered to seek legal advice on this, and we have already done so.
Now, going back to the elections, each individual in your 9-person slate received at least 14 of 17 valid votes. Now, that's quite a vote of confidence, literally, from the affiliates. How does that make you feel, and does it give you hope for unity in the scene?
it might be a little bit cliche to say humble, but it is humbling. When people ask me how I felt after the elections, it wasn't jubilation or elation. Mm. It was a sense of responsibility. Because this is not a competition per se. It is not about my slate beating the other team, which I have great respect for, right? I mean, mm-hmm. both teams came, we made our pitch. I think we were able to convince the affiliates a little bit better about what our team can bring to the table. So it's not about we won. That's why I always said this is not a competition. The spirit yes. that we need to bring into the AGM is collaboration. And after the AGM, we still would love to work. We need to work with all the affiliates, not just the ones that voted for us, but the ones that may not have voted for us. And the ones, and it's not just affiliates, right? It's the broader community. So the feeling is really one of responsibility. The feeling one is one that I'm glad they gave us a strong mandate. So don't get me wrong. I appreciate the strong mandate. A strong mandate is important because it means that they believe in the plans. Mm-hmm. It is a validation of the plans that we have talked about and that we are already beginning to implement as of the night itself.
And from my view, it was very heartening to see, everybody sort of pulling together in one mm-hmm. direction, whichever way it might have gone. One thing I've gathered from talking to some of the affiliates is that they appreciated Mr. Lian's team ground up. The fact that they actually took the effort to go down, meet athletes, coaches, and officials on the ground, and actually take a genuine interest in hearing from them and understanding, what their needs and their concerns are. I think Mr. Lian just a couple of minutes ago mentioned about SEA Games 2021 and trying to do what they can to facilitate getting the best out of the athletes for qualification. And that's huge. That's important because many times in the past, not just in athletics, in some other sports as well, it's more of, okay, we'll support you by sending you to a competition overseas. Mm. But, whether you qualify or not, whether you meet the mark or not, that's down to you. And that's it. So it's very much, you do it, you show us the results, we'll send you. So, I think it's a very athlete-centric approach then, and one that over the years you argue could be improved upon, and hopefully the current SEA leadership can actually do that.
So do you think then that there's more that SA can do to foster harmony and unity in the local scene?
Definitely, but again, the SA doesn't operate alone. Mm. We are, I always say that we are the multiplier, we're the ecosystem builder. We set a tone, but ultimately athletics is also ground up. And that's why we use the name. It is a ground up initiative. It is a ground up system that we need to depend on. And it's my plea to, and my ask of everyone during our campaigning was, it's not just the SA. Trust me that if we come into the position which we have, mm. I will be knocking on everybody's door to ask you as well of help, because it is going to be a whole Singapore athletics community-driven
effort. We've reached the halfway point of our broadcast. Now, if you like the Straits Times Game of Two Halves podcast, you can listen live on Money FM 89.3 from 5:15 p.m. every Monday, or you can subscribe to hashtag Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, and like us and give us a rating. Now, we still have Lian Chung Loon, new Singapore Athletics President, here on with us, and we've just a couple more questions with him before we go to this week's moment of the week. Let's move away from the SA elections for a short while here. People always point to the golden era. I mean, you talk about winning golds, and people always talk about the golden era of the 60s and the 70s, where we had athletics competitions at an Asian level. They were really kind of, at their peak, some may say. Do you think we can ever get there again?
What is a golden era? There's a golden era in terms of having a lot of medals. There's a golden era where you know that the system works, where you've got a flourishing, ground-up community, which then translates into elite athletes. Mm-hmm. I am really looking for a golden era where the health of the ecosystem is great, where the community spirit mm-hmm. is great, where the coaches, the clubs, the athletes really feel good about the sport. They're proud of the sport. If you have that, then the medals will come.
Yeah, yeah, so Sally, what are your thoughts?
You mentioned the ecosystem as a whole, and and it's commonly said, there are so many medals, up for grabs, in track and field at every SEA Games or Asian Games. And you know, for some reason, Singapore we have, you know, sort of trailed other countries a bit, you know, over the decades, to the point that, you know, we are only competitive in maybe 3 or 4 events. I think it's important that, you know, for the health of the whole ecosystem to be more competitive over a broader number of events. I think that's one of the things that Ms. Len has said is his goal. You know, personally, you know, you talk about whether we can sort of go up a level or a couple of levels to be competitive, you know, at the Asian level. That requires a few things like, you know, natural talent and obviously, you know, blossoming into an athlete and fulfilling the potential. But, you know, I felt we missed a chance a bit in 2015 because, you know, we hosted the SEA Games on foreign soil. Everything sort of seemed to align, the stars seemed to align, you know, our men's, you know, 4x1 relay team, including Gary, who's on the plan team, you know, they broke the national record. I think it was like the 6th time in the last 5 years or something. They have been progressing so well. Our girls, I think the 4x4 did so too. They broke the national record. Shanti got first individual sprint medal since 1973. We had people like Dipna Lim, Prasad, Soru Yong, Zubin, you know, sprinters. And you know, there was a win in the sales of Singapore athletics. And I felt that, you know, the progress of these athletes and their achievements could have been built on. You know, but, you know, unfortunately, the following year, there was a leadership change. You know, and then the same old problems sort of, you know, started to take place in athletics, you know, infighting, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. And honestly, as it regressed and, you know, the athletes became sort of like not the focus anymore. And you know, so I feel for them and it could not, you know, sort of go to that next level. You know, there was talk Shanti could, you know, go on to be competitive at Asian level. There was talk about sending her to the US to study and train where she would have, you know, potentially blossomed. So that never happened. And you know, so in a way, I feel a bit disappointed. Like, I feel that there was a missed opportunity, but, you know, there's always a future and we have new talents and let's hope, you know, SA can now nurture them.
Well, you know, there's so much for us to catch up on this topic, especially with Mr. Lien joining us here today. But that's all we've got time for. And before we wrap this week's Game of Two Halves episode, Cezali, what's our moment of the week?
Yeah, just very quickly. I think usually we like to highlight, you know, the best of sport as the moment of the week. But for this week's episode, we have to give it to the farce that was the handball decision given against Spurs in their 1-1 draw with Newcastle on Sunday night. It was a travesty. It was horrible. You know, the player wasn't even facing the ball. I hope it will be the tipping point, you know, for the football authorities to make a change in how it's implemented. And, you know, I strongly believe something has to change. And that handball decision, that moment, could be a defining one for that to happen.
Well, there goes the final whistle for our sports discussion of the week. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us. Follow Straits Times, hashtag Game of Two Halves podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And you can also catch this episode on the Straits Times YouTube channel later this week. Thank you for listening. And thank you to our special guest this week, Mr. Lien Chung Loon. We wish you all the best of luck as you embark on the next 2 years with Singapore Athletics. Thank you so much for joining us today.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.